everybody. Morning. It's Friday. How are you doing? Welcome to the Harry Gummick Show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Friday, and it's Fall on Friday, which means that you get a chance to visit me on Twitter and to follow me on Twitter. So make sure you take your opportunity to do that. Well, today we're going to talk about It's Time to Go. And many of you are probably sitting there thinking I'm going to talk about time to dress to go to the mall or to a party or to go out on a date. But no, it's time to go. It's time to go. There are so many things that we have allowed to inhibit us and to prevent us from moving forward that we really need to take a good look at what it is that's keeping us back and see what we can do about it. So let's talk about that. But in the meantime, one of the things that concerned me last night as I watched the news was how the Republicans, the Republican House of Representatives, passed a bill that would reduce food stamp benefits by $40 billion. And I'm like, wow, way to go. Well, put some farmers out of work, wouldn't you say? Put a lot of people out, right? And even a lot of government workers, I mean, what are they going to do if they're not sitting there processing food stamp applications? I'm just saying. And I don't know if you know this about, but on a Thursday, I volunteer at a local church where we're involved in the distribution of food to the people in the community where the church is. If ever there was a church that was representative of meeting the needs of the community, this was it. So I volunteer at this church, and one of the things that I do is I provide prayer. I provide faith-based initiatives and faith-based responses to queries, and I also provide advice. I mean, people will come up to you and say something or ask us something, and you, based on your experience and knowledge, try to point them in the right direction. Sort of like a coach. I'm like the coach, John. I'm like the coach who calls the play on Thursday. And so what we have been noticing is that we have been having an increase in the number of people who have come forward. I've been doing it for a month now. That operation has been in existence for years. And what we have noticed is there is an increase in the number of people who come forward. Yesterday alone, we gave out 186 bags of food. And the food we get comes from a specific food bank around town. And they drop the food off on Thursday morning, so it's not like it's overnighted or anything like that. It's Thursday morning. And 20 volunteers come in and pack the bags ready to be distributed. Any day now, I'm going to have cameras down there showing exactly what we do and how we do it. And so when we do that, I said to myself, we're going to be overwhelmed. We might as well start asking for another truck of food ASAP because we're going to be overwhelmed. Already, the people who come are the regulars. They're the same people who come every week. What does that tell you? It is their own source of food, right? Exactly. It tells you that that's their only source of food. So we don't have any choice over what comes. Whatever comes is what gets distributed. So if they bring meat, it's meat. If they bring produce, it's produce. If they bring only desserts and pastry items, that's what it is. If they bring breads, that's what it is. If they bring juices, that's what it is. Whatever they bring is what we give. And so what we're finding is people are hungry. The same people are coming every week food. Every now and then you'll meet 5 or 10 new people, but everybody's the same. We get to know one another. We're saying hello to one another. We've become a community now. And in addition to having, you would think that it sits right smack in the middle of Detroit, so it's black. No, we have about 30 Caucasian members of our community. So it makes me wonder, what on earth do these Republicans think they're talking to? Because right smack in the middle of Detroit, there are 30 white members of the community who come in, and they come in faithfully every week to get their bag, put it on their little things as scooters, and ride off into the sunset. They need food just like everybody else. So I'm saying to you, and I'm saying this to Republican lawmakers everywhere, I hope you're really happy while you were swirling your whiskey in your tumbler last night and your brandy in your snifter. I hope you're really happy while you were stuffing your faces with foie gras and you were enjoying hors d'oeuvres by a passing waiter who earns minimum wage. I hope you really were, because get ready for the backlash that is about to come. There is a backlash that will come. People are not going to take this lightly, and people are also going to revolt. They're going to rise up because you cannot continue to take away their benefits. The poor will be with us always. That's why we've always had welfare. Welfare means here is an opportunity for those who cannot help themselves. So what if they stay on it for 20 years, for God's sake? Let it be. It kept the peace and it kept crime down. Now you're encouraging crime because now people won't know what to do. So get ready for that. Because I know what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to have to find out what kind of security we're going to need at the church now, because people are going to riot if more people show up and we don't have enough food to distribute. So we're going to have to take steps to ensure that that doesn't happen. My goodness. So talk about it. Talk about it. This is real time right here on the ground. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is where Republican lawmakers continue to disappoint the American people, that all they really care about is themselves. And for many of you out there who are white, yes, you are white, and you are living in communities where you know you have had to go and apply for food stamps lately, and you're shutting your mouth because you're ashamed, and you're shutting your mouth because you don't want anyone to know that you have family members on food stamps because you didn't think it could happen to you, I encourage you to open your mouth and start talking back to these Republican lawmakers and see how quickly they would back off. The next time I go to My Calcutta, I'm going to take a picture. There are 30 white members of My Calcutta. What are you going to say to them? I'm just saying, it's Friday and it's already started. This is the Harriet Kamik Show, everybody. It's Friday morning. Let's get it started. We'll be right back.
Tell me this is love.
Yeah, so I care. Republican lawmakers may not care, but I care. I care about those people whose faces I have to look into every Thursday and to see the despondency and the lack of hope in their faces. And this is not just for, many of them are senior citizens, a wide smattering of them are senior citizens, but they're also young members of the community as well, middle-aged and young members of the community. And as I look into their faces, I see that there is no hope that things will ever change, that they have resigned themselves, that this is how it is going to be. It's almost as if they're in a zombie-like trance because this is how it's going to be for the rest of their lives. And I don't think that, frankly, I didn't think that in America I'd ever live to see this, quite frankly. I never thought I'd live to see the day when people had to make the choice between buying food or paying a utility bill, or people just simply not having enough to eat. Last Thursday, for instance, we ran out of food, like literally. More people showed up than we had bags for. Do you know what it felt like to not have to see people walk away and not have food? There was not a dry eye amongst the 30 volunteers there. We didn't know what else to do. And so what we've tried to do is when the food comes in, it comes in various forms, and we give food based on, you know, we pack a bag with a meat, a protein item, carbohydrates, and the basic food groups, veggies and fruits. So, you know, they get a fruit, they get a veggie, and they get a snack item. And if there's stuff like iced tea, liquid iced tea, or they send milk or eggs, we try to put those in each bag. And then they, for one reason or another, the stores seem to make an overabundance of pastry and dessert items. I don't know what's the markup on those things, and I don't know if they're actually selling those things, because they seem to come to the food bank. I mean, one entire area of the processing area is just filled with dessert and pastry items. Sometimes we look at each other like, who the heck is going to eat all of this stuff? I never do. Many people seem to just shrug their shoulders. People do take them, though, when we do hand them out. And people, you know, every now and then they will sometimes take veggies. We actually have to encourage them to take the fruits and veggies. We have to encourage them to do so. But the point I'm making is that now that the Republicans have determined that this is the way forward, this is the kind of America creating, the America of the 1950s where everybody was lacking opportunity in some. That's the America they want to create. Okay, well, I, you know what I say to all of you? I say play ball. They want to play hardball? Let's play hardball too. If this is the way they want to, no more compromising, no more asking them to consider or to be humane, let's play ball. So you want to sit over there and recreate America that cannot physically, spiritually, emotionally, or in any way or chronologically ever return. If you want to play, or societally, if or socially, if that is the kind of America you want to live in, we'll give it to you. But it will be with a 21st century taste. You will like it, though, because you're going to have to deal with it. And I think what we all should do is start playing ball. If they don't play hardball, we should play hardball. So to the black lawmakers in Congress who have whites in their district, it's time to play ball. It's time to play ball. If they want to play hardball, it's time to play ball. Give it back to them the way they want it. After all, it's our country too, right? Everybody lives here? Okay, so we are all going to live here and work this stuff out. So if you want to play hardball over there and you throw a ball at us, we're not going to dodge the ball. We're going to catch the ball and send it right back at you. And I feel like that's how we need to do this. I really feel that it's time out for trying to be nice to them. It's time out for trying to be nice. It's time to go. It's time to go. We've got to move on. There's a whole world out there that needs our attention. There are people being born in America every day. We have to think of where we're going to house people, how we're going to educate people, what kind of society we are going to create for the next two generations. We don't have time to sit here and play ball with people who are intransigent and who want to recreate a scenario that no longer exists. Yeah, if that's what they want, give it to them. Throw the ball right back at them. They want to play hardball, throw it right back at them. That's all I got to say. Enough is enough. Time to go. Time to go. So within this context, then, I wanted to talk today about if you are sitting there, and if ever there was a time that you knew that you needed to do something for your future, for yourself, now is the time. Because what's happening right now is that many people are finding themselves in a deficit. I saw a post on Facebook last night where somebody was reposting somebody else's idea that if you're a singer or a musician and your talent is not funding your life, then please seek a job. And I said to myself, great advice. That's good. That's real good. Work your job and work your talent symbiotically at the same time. Work both of them at the same time. Work them. Work them both. I did it for years. Work them both. Because what's going to happen is that don't let anything stop you. Because you have got to create an alternative economy. You've got to create an alternative that if this fails over here, you still have something to keep you going. And make no mistake about it, my friend, sometimes in the pursuit of your dream, what your dream really does is motivate you, because so many people work dead-end jobs that we absolutely can't stand, jobs that we hate. We don't even want to be there, but we work it because it's the only way forward. It's the only way to pay the bills and to live, right? And so when you have a dream, what the dream does is it gives you something to look forward to. So what I am saying to you is that work the job, but work your dream. Work it both. Guys, it's time to swing the ball in both hands. Don't just take the ball and have it in one hand. Swing it both hands. We're going to do a balancing act if that's what it takes, but you're going to swing. And you're going to throw that ball as far as you can throw it into your future. Because what's going to happen now is that we are sick, tired of having someone else dictate the limits to your existence. I don't know about you, but I have just had it. It's time for it to go. I've just about had it. It's time for someone else to dictate the limits of your existence. Right now we are doing something on Twitter, raise the wage. It's a new hashtag, raise the wage. Why? Because it is ridiculous to expect people to live at $7.40 an hour when inflation has risen about 30% since the 1970s. People were earning $40,000 a year in the 1970s, and today $40,000 a year is still a great income, but inflation and cost of living has surpassed that 300 times over. Come on, everybody, wake up. You're falling asleep at the switch. I know it's tiring. I know you had to get up. Many of you have long commutes. You have to get up and drive an hour and a half to get to work. Okay, I feel you. So do I. We all have to. There is no reason that you should not do both. It's time to go. It really is. So serve notice on your lazy part of you that refuses to get up and that part of you that refuses to do anything about it. Become proactive and take that ball and sling it right into your future. And when you throw it, let it knock out every negative that you can. It's time to play ball. It really is time to go. This is the Harriet Kamik Show, everybody. It's Friday. I told you it was going to be good. It's Friday. Let's get it started. It's Friday. I love this song by John Legend. I really do. I think I haven't played it this morning. It's Friday.
Control, baby, tonight you need that. life and love, baby. Gotta text me.
Nope.
Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot. I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga bread, they popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm. Sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm, but in a chinchilla. You know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week. You're my five-course
baby
meal for real.
Wow, John Lennon, what a way to start Friday. What a way to start Friday. We're talking about it's time to go. And we really are saying from the perspective that everyone has to at some point stop and do something. And even if what you have done is not do anything at all, even if all you could do was to do something, but do something anyhow. Make a shift. Make a move. Take the ball and throw it as far as you can. Take it and let that baby sink deep down and do the best that you can with what you have so that you make the right decision. That's all you can do sometimes. It's amazing the kinds of stuff that people have had to endure. I think I was never the kind of person who felt victimized or was a big thought myself a victim of anything. It's foreign to my nature. I am a very proactive kind of person. Something happens, I like to prevent things before they happen. And I've learned over time that there are some things that, you know, you probably couldn't see coming, or you can do the best you can to eliminate the collateral damage or reduce the collateral damage, but then there are still some things that you still have that will still hit you. And so the wisdom then is to figure out what alternatives can be are acceptable prior to the event taking place or post-mortem. And so we want to be able to view life then from the perspective that we have sort of control, or we have more control than we've found that we really have. And I say that with all honesty because I am not a fan necessarily of sitting back and watching life roll past. I'm not someone who believes in sitting on the couch and watching the events of my life go past, especially in my most productive years. These are the times when the sun is shining. My mantra has always been, my grandmother used to tell me, hey, while the sun shines. You know, while the sun is shining, that means you have your youth and your strength. Get up and do something so that later on when it's winter, when the winter years are flat, let's sit back and enjoy it. And what I want to do right now is to encourage you to do that. I mean, there are so many of us who have an independent streak, and I seem to attract artists and creative persons who use their creativity as a form of self-expression. Can I just encourage you? There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what I'm going to encourage you to do is to do what you have to do to keep you going. So if it doesn't mean you're vacating your position as a community advocate or as a writer, singer, musician, producer, it doesn't mean you're vacating it. What it means is that you're finding other ways to supplement that. That's all. So find yourself a job. Whatever it is that you have to do, go find yourself a job. I mean, if John Gosling, the guy who was married to Kate, and has 8 children can go find a job working at a restaurant, living in a cabin in the woods, then I think everyone can. That's his way of surviving. And he was at the top and fell right down to the bottom. So all I'm saying is get it together, and it's time to go. It's really time to go. Time to let go of all that stuff. Time to chart a plan for your future, and include in that future winning ways in which you can maintain you. Because it makes no sense if your creativity cannot be expressed because you are bogged down over here by the events of life and the current events of our time. What it means to do is working should be an avenue that enables you to provide for the basics, and then you can use it as a launch platform to move forward. That's all. Just do that. I did it for years, and it didn't hurt me one bit. It just meant that I worked really hard because I had to stay up late at night to do it and then still get up and go to work the next day. I did it. It didn't hurt me. In fact, it launched me, it gave me a voice, and it gave me a presence. So do it. It will help you. It's Friday. Follow me Friday. Make sure you go to Twitter and join me on Twitter. And we are going to play some more music. We'll be right back. This is the Harriet Kamik Show.
It ain't going to be for a minute.
You're going to be on time tonight, right?
Tonight? What's tonight?
Our anniversary?
Yeah.
I know you're not wearing that. Your ass better not be late either. You hear me? I'm
Dave Hudson, we're certainly taking it very slow on this Friday morning. No one gonna love you. Jennifer Hudson. What we're talking about, it's time to go. And in so many areas of our lives, I believe that it's time to go. It's time to get up and get started if you haven't already done so. You must have a dream. You must have a plan to execute that dream. And you've got to understand the stages to a dream. I did a blog once some time ago about the 5 stages to dream and how dreams are executed. Dreams are not supposed to be fantasy. Let's separate that. A dream is not a fantasy. A fantasy is unreality. A fantasy is something that is not likely to happen. It's unreal. But a dream is a conscious, concentrated effort of an idea, birthing of an idea in order to produce it. So it's a conscious, concentrated effort of the birthing of an idea to produce it. You've got to have a plan. The minute you have a good idea, you've got to have a plan to execute it. You've got to strategize. And you have to be able to execute. And dreams take stages. They're the beginning stages of the dream when the idea is so big, it has to wow you. It has to be like, whoa, how am I going to do that? If the first question you ask yourself is, whoa, how am I going to do that? That's the dream to have. That's a big dream. But if the dream you have is, okay, I can call Tom, Mary, Dick, or Harry, and we can do this, it's not a dream. Because anything that you can do on your own or anything that you can do within your resources cannot be a dream. A dream has to be something bigger than your situation. It has to be bigger than your current realm. It has to be bigger than your sphere of influence. So go for it. Go write out your dream. And many of you are shocked by what you have inside of you. Many of you, your dream is so big, you're afraid to breathe it. You're afraid to say it. You're afraid to talk it out. And my job today is to encourage you, to let you know that, yes, you should. Yes, you should figure out how to get your dream. Yes, you should tell yourself, how am I going to do this? And yes, you should be asking yourself, it is so big, wow, how am I going to get this done? And if you don't have a dream, you're a very sorry person. I tell you about the people in my conference all the time. Part of the problem is when I look in their eyes, I see unresolved dreams, dreams that never happened. That's part of the frustration. And many of them are like, I don't know how to make my dream happen. Well, come to the Dream Builder right here. I can tell you how to make many dreams happen. I can help you and point you in the right direction. That's what happened for me. I'll show you how God showed me how to do it. It took a lot of effort, and many dreams take a long time. I've had a dream, and it's been 16 years, I think. 16 years now. Many dreams take a long, long time. It's just now, after 16 years, I am just now ready to cross a threshold. Can you dig it? Yeah. So dreams are not products of your imagination. Products of your imagination are fantasies. That's where you lay down in bed and you imagine a world in which you are rich and powerful. No idea of how to get. Usually you are seen with famous and important people. That's a desire to impress others, or that's a desire to get out of your current situation. A dream is where you actually see yourself pursuing what you want to do. When you see yourself doing it, that's your dream. When you are the one holding the gear lever, the gear stick, and shifting gears, that's your dream. And you have got to be in the driver's seat. That's your dream. It has to be so big that you don't even know what you're going to do. And I know that you have those dreams because I hear them in your voices. I can see the hope in your face. And what you really need is for someone to light that fire so that you can start exploring it. But you've got to be willing to pay the price that comes with your dream. There is a price. The bigger the dream, the greater the price. And I know that shocked you, but it is. I have a theory that the reason many people who go to church have not fulfilled their dream is because they went about it the wrong way. Let me explain it to you. People who go to church suffer from the concept that their pastor is God. So whenever they have a dream, they take the dream to the pastor. And the pastor is God. So they have a dream, idea. They have a plan. Many of them go to their pastor with a whole program about the plan. The pastor looks at it, and he trashes it. Of course he's going to. Because what? It's destroying his dream. What is his dream? Your pastor's dream is to do what? Build his church. Build his building. Build his congregation and keep you in the pews so you can continue to keep his lifestyle. You have a big dream. Right away, he knows how much money it's going to take to do that. That's money you are doing what? Taking away from him. So many church people sit there and say, think that if pastor does not validate it, then it's not a dream. Wrong move. So God can't trust you with inventions and ideas because you go to the wrong person. Now, take the Google guys. I'm going to use them as an example. Now, there is a need for an internet service. So God births this idea into the Google guys. What did they do with it? They ran with it. They didn't form a committee. They didn't go to their pastor. They didn't seek validation and approval. They knew right away that this was the best idea, and if they could harness it and get it done before somebody else comes up with it, it would be the winner. They were committed to their dream. They went after it with everything that was in them. They took it all apart and it stopped until they made it. That's true perseverance. Now, a typical church person is going to lose faith because they're going to think that all they need to do is to have faith. No, faith without works is dead. The Bible says you must believe, you must have faith, but you also have to faith without works being dead. You also have to work your dream. So those are three components right there. So when they tell you that all you have to do is to have faith and believe, not so. You have to work it. You have to be prepared to listen to instruction. Now, God can speak through people and tell you divinely how to execute your dream. You know, people will come up with some idea or some way of financing it and so on. You've got to know how to listen. And that, my friends, is the reason why many church people fail, because they're looking for validation. Look, you have a dream one day to build a better Macintosh. You might not call it Macintosh. You might call it something else. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit there, or are you going to take the idea to some IT guy you know for him to validate it? No. He takes your idea and he markets it and puts it together in a different format. Recently, my Toshiba laptop that I paid $849 for in 2009, that is now rendered obsolete, by the way, the hard drive crashed because I was using a sucky internet service, AT&T at the time, and it penetrated my hard drive and it crashed, okay? So what happened was my hard drive crashed and so it burned. I took it to a guy to fix, and he said, well, the only thing we can do is replace the hard drive. So I said, okay, you know, the operating, so, you know, the as long as the things in the computer that makes it a computer work, it was fine. So they replaced the hard drive. Well, in replacing the hard drive, we found out that we were trying to load Windows 7 onto it, and we couldn't. The computer rejected Windows 7 consistently. Finally, he said, this is a good computer. There really isn't anything wrong with it, but it will not accept Windows 7. Would you accept if I replace a different radio, a different operating system? And I said, fine. So he said, there's one called Linux, L-I-N-U-X. I said, I've heard the name somewhere before, but I'm not familiar with it. He said, trust me, you will like it. He loaded it onto the laptop, and what do you know? Boom. The laptop is working better than it worked when it came out of the box. It's fast. It's efficient. I was low. So what I found when I opened the Linux software was that it's a combination of Microsoft Word and Apple. And Apple software. I'm familiar with both operating systems. I'm currently using a Mac. I love it, by the way. I've been using this for about 2 years now. And so what I found was that it was a combination. Now, what ended up happening was that my daughter's computer crashed. She had an HP that I had given her when she went to college. Brand spanking new out of the box. But you know how those go. They die really quickly. It's been 2 years. So when she needed a new computer, she needed an additional computer. my Toshiba, which is my backup computer, and because I had invested so much money into it, I really did not want to part with it. But I took it to her and I explained to her the difference with the operating system and the software. Well, lo and behold, I'm talking to a tech savvy 21st century generation Y person who immediately latched onto the idea and found that it was way more efficient and literally took the computer and ran with the program. What am I trying to tell you? The people who designed the Linux software had an idea. They figured if they could come up with a software operating system, a software package that was similar to what everyone in the world was familiar with and compiled it together, they would have best of two worlds. Now, whoever had that idea is a grand idea, but it would never have been produced if someone had not spent the time. Someone had to pursue it. You can't sit there and wait on a committee or wait on validation from someone else. You've got to get up and do what you have to do. A few days ago, I was in a retail shop here. You'll hear me talk more about them. They're good friends of mine, Rick and Angel Young. And we were talking. Someone walked into the store and was talking about when she discovered I was a writer. That's one of the things that happens to me. As soon as people, I say I'm a writer, everybody suddenly wants to write a book. This is one of the first times in the last 4 or 5 years that someone said to me, I want to write a book, and actually had an outline. Now, many people come to you and say, I have an idea to write a book. And I'm like, And I'm listening. Nothing more. What's the book about? Well, I haven't started writing it yet. Well, what's the topic going to be? What's the subject going to be? Nothing. And I'm like, you still have a ways to go. It's just a dream. It's just an idea you have. That's a fantasy. That is a fantasy. Now, this particular young lady had an idea to write a book. She had the title. It's going to have 10 chapters, and each chapter has already been named. And I was like, right there, just by hearing the first two, after she mentioned the first two chapters and said, I'm going to have you on my show. I really want to talk to you about that. Get that done. So out of me, ideas how to publish the book. I began to learn how to do it, how it can be done. And she said, it must be something because the universe is speaking to me, because I just walked in here and I just felt this compulsion to come here. And I said, and I felt a compulsion to be here because I didn't plan on being here this morning. I was supposed to be later in the afternoon, but here I am sitting. Do you see what I mean? And so what I'm trying to tell you then is that you've got to have what plan. You've got to have a dream, but your dream will be a fantasy without a plan. Just like this young woman, she had an idea to write a book. She had the subject. She had the title. She had the outline of the book. Many people just have an idea. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you, you're a doctor and people say, well, I wanted to study medicine. Well, what stopped you? Or people say, well, I wanted to go to law school. Well, what stopped you? I don't talk about what I would have done. My talking points have always been what I will do, or what I have done. In fact, sometimes I don't even talk about what I've already done because it's done. It's already in the past. It's the next that I'm thinking of. So I've talked about the writer. I am a writer. I write all day, every day. 3 published books are out there. I write blogs, blah, blah, blah. My body of media content is out there. So it's established, right? Okay, so I'm a community advocate. Oh, yes, so I do that all day, every day. There are other projects, however, that I'm working on. I don't talk about them because they're in process. It's on paper. The deal, the contract is signed. The deal is done. It's a matter of producing it. Until it starts, I won't talk about it. But do you see what I mean? So you've got to be able to have your dream. And you've got to tell yourself it's time to go. When I got up this morning, I told myself, as tired as I felt, I went to bed late last night because I was on the phone with my daughter who needed mommy time. And you can't not tell your children they can't have mommy time. You have to be there, especially when they're away from home. And I talked with her for a while. I was up late. I was doing laundry and so on. And I got up and I told myself, you've got to go. There are some things that I have to take care of today that require urgency that I must do. And that time is going. I told myself, time is going. Say, time is going. It's time to go. So you've got to place a time limit on your dream. You might be sitting there saying, well, what is the time frame for my dream, depending on the size of your project? But set goals, set achievables. I refer to them as achievables. They're deliverables. So achievables, deliverables. Pick your choice. Okay, what is achievable today? Your achievables are things that can be done within a 24-hour period or the minute it's said it can be done. Deliverables are specific time frames for projects. So you identify certain parts of the project that have to be delivered by a certain time. Now, you may be asking, what if it doesn't happen within the time frame specified? Here is the thing. Setting the time frame for it to be delivered identifies to you that you're giving yourself an ultimatum, holding yourself accountable to the execution of that project. Now, what will you do? You will ensure that whatever it takes to get it done will be done. Now, if it doesn't get done within that time frame, now you're going to beat yourself because now you're going to say, I had to adjust, but I'm going to do it anyhow. So it's all about what? Accountability, holding yourself accountable to the execution of it. Make no mistake about it. Dreams are achievable. Dreams are not insurmountable. They can be done. However, it's your degree of commitment. Now, I'm going to help you here because so many of us have found over time that we tend to become discouraged about what we can and can't do. We tend to fall apart when things don't go our way. We thought that CNN was going to come running towards us with cameras as the next great big idea. When that didn't happen, we fell apart. Please don't do that. Please do not do that. Do not look to traditional media as the only form of advertising. In today's world, we have the internet. The internet is replete with a myriad of advertising opportunities. There is social media. The reason there is social media is because it's social. It's free. So you get on social media, you create a Facebook, create your presence, and you begin to start talking. What did I say? Start talking. You start creating an awareness of your presence in the particular field that you're in. So this is why I say dreams are executable and achievable and deliverable. So they're executable. They are achievable and they are deliverable. Okay, so now that you know that, what are you going to do? It's time to go, isn't it? It's time to go. Now you have been given your assignment for the weekend. While you're watching college football tomorrow, while you're sitting there just lolling around town and just being by yourself, while you're doing all of that, I'd like you to do this very one thing, which is to make sure that you're positioning yourself to find yourself and hold yourself accountable to your dream. You cannot waste time anymore. There's no more time to waste. There's nothing more that you can sit. You've got to be able to get up and do it. And yes, it's a birthing process. It's like being pregnant for 9 months and you have to give birth. It's extremely painful. It's heart-wrenching. It's burning. And very few of us, get this, very few of us are lucky enough to be surrounded by a community of support. Most of us have had to go it alone. In my case, in my story, it was me alone. It was just me, my two children, and the three people in the sky, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That was it. Outside of that, it was so over. No one supported me. No one encouraged me. No one gave me a pat on the back. When the first book was published, people just turned up their nose at me. When the second book came out, I was on radio here in the Metro Detroit area. People still turned up their noses on me. People whom I went to church with would not even tune in to hear me on a Sunday. They would not even talk about me in the church. Can you dig it? People just turned up their noses. Who does she think she is? What does she think she's doing? I didn't listen to any of that. I heard it, but it didn't make an impression on me. I still continued to do it anyhow. And when I realized that I could reach a larger audience by going online, I jumped on that boat. And here you are, 69,000 listeners later. Do you see what I'm talking about? You have got to be able to go. And when the time comes, as my grandmother would say, the tough get going. The tough got to get going. You might feel defeated. You might feel hurt. Just dry your tears up. Get up. Kick whatever is out of your way. Kick that disappointment out of your way. And learn to adjust your perspective. One of the things you're learning the true spirit of an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is a pioneer. You're going on a path that's never been done before. You're going in a place where it has never happened before. And you are literally creating the laws and the rules that go along. You're learning new things. You're learning about people. You're learning about financing. You're learning mistakes to make and what mistakes not to make. And suddenly, it's become very real to you. So now you have to make those choices. So get up and go. It's time to go, everybody. It's time to go. This is the Harriet Kamak Show. It's Friday. Hope you have enjoyed it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back as we continue more on the Harriet Kamak Show.
Have you ever read one of Harriet's books, Visions, Musings of the Spirit, or Through the Fire? If you haven't, don't fret. They're all available on Harriet's website at www.harrietkamak.org. They're also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can even download Harriet's app on your web-enabled mobile device. Simply type in http://harrietkamak.mob.app.at in your mobile phone's web browser. Need Harriet to speak at your next engagement? Give her a call at 1-800-573-1534 or visit the Contact Us page on her website. And if you want to know more about The Harriet Kamak Show, log into Facebook and search for The Harriet Kamak Show. Like the page if you want to, and be blessed.
Well, you know how Kelly Clarkson sings a song that says, "What doesn't kill you just makes you stronger"? Well, this is your moment. Take your moment and sign off with it. What doesn't kill you certainly makes you stronger. This has been The Harriet Kamak Show, everybody. Have a great weekend. Come back and see us on Monday. We'll be right. Have a great weekend. We'll be here. And we'll continue to encourage and motivate you. And do me a favor, go to my website, harrietkamak.org, and buy one of my books. Make a contribution to us. We're so very grateful for your listening support, and we're terribly grateful for your listener support over the years. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great weekend. What does kill you certainly makes you stronger. Be blessed.
What doesn't kill you makes